peace on earth and goodwill to men. Heavenly angels announce his arrival in the little town of Bethlehem. Hallelujah to the Lord, sing holy. He was sworn to save the world from sin. Glory to God in the highest glory. Hallelujah to the Lord, amen. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth and goodwill to men. Heavenly angels announce his arrival in the little town of Bethlehem. Hallelujah to the Lord, sing holy. He was born to save the world from sin. Glory to God in the highest glory. Hallelujah to the Lord, amen. Glory to God in the highest glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Highest peace on earth and goodwill to men. Heavenly angels announce his arrival in the little town of Bethlehem. Hallelujah to the Lord, sing holy. He was born to save the world from sin. Glory to God in the highest glory. Hallelujah to the Lord, amen. Hallelujah to the Lord, sing holy. He was born to save the world from sin. Glory to God in the highest glory.
Our scripture reading is from the book of Luke, chapters 2, 22 through 35, and that can be found on page 933 in your pew Bible. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul too." May God give us understanding of this holy scripture.
Every Sunday, I receive prayer request cards from people in the congregation. And every Monday morning, I go through the cards and I see the prayer request, and I pray for each request. Many of the requests are confidential, and I don't discuss them with anyone. And sometimes the prayer requests are unsigned, so I don't know who submitted them. But God knows, and God hears every prayer that's made. You might know that there are websites on the internet that also receive prayer requests. I read about a prayer request that someone submitted to one of those sites. It was a one-word prayer request. And the one word was windfall. Windfall. The person who submitted the prayer request was praying for a windfall. Now, we can only guess what the person was asking for. According to the dictionary, a windfall is a sudden, unexpected piece of good fortune or personal gain. That's a windfall. But I found there's another definition. Windfall also means something such as a piece of ripened fruit that has been blown down by the wind. Well, probably that prayer request was for the first kind of windfall, that sudden, unexpected piece of good fortune or personal gain. But the second definition might apply too. When Mary first learned that she had been chosen to be the mother of the Son of the Most High, it must have seemed like a windfall. It must have seemed like a sudden, unexpected piece of good fortune or personal gain. In the prayer that Mary later prayed, which we call the Magnificat, she said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations shall call me blessed." And from then on, all generations would call her blessed. And so Mary had a windfall. She had a sudden, unexpected turn of good fortune and personal gain. She would give birth to the Son of the Most High God. Now, there were some complications. First of all, Mary was a virgin, not yet married, and she wondered how Joseph, her fiancé, would react to the news. Second, Mary must have been somewhat unprepared to take on such an awesome responsibility to be the mother of such a child. Nevertheless, given her windfall, Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." I wonder if any first-time mother is fully prepared for the birth of her child. Now, added to that, the circumstances of this birth were certainly complicated. Mary was great with child. When she and Joseph traveled far from their home to Bethlehem for the census, there was no room for them in the inn. And even though she was about to give birth, they had no place to stay. So Jesus was born in a barnyard and laid to rest in a manger. Now, to us, it sounds quaint and charming, but for Mary, it must have been terrifying. That silent night must have also been a scary night for her. Yet, shortly after Jesus was born, the silence was broken by the singing of angels, and shepherds came to visit Mary and Joseph and the babe in the manger with an astonishing message. The shepherds said that the angels had told them about good news of great joy and about the birth of a Savior who was the Messiah, the Lord. Now, Mary and Joseph already knew that this baby was special, but they did not yet fully comprehend how special he was, a windfall indeed. Now, it was some days after that, perhaps some weeks after that, that Mary and Joseph brought the baby Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. That's what our scripture is about for this morning. It was a custom similar to our infant dedication service. A prophet in the temple, an old man named Simeon, was guided by the Holy Spirit to recognize who this special child was. Now, it wouldn't have been apparent to anybody else. Mary and Joseph would have been just a humble couple, nothing special about them. In fact, the fact that they gave such a modest sacrifice of two turtle doves indicates that they were from the lower classes of people. And yet Simeon, being guided by the Spirit, recognized this special child as God's salvation. He took the baby into his arms, and he offered a prayer of blessing. And once again, Mary and Joseph were amazed at what was said about him, a windfall, a sudden, unexpected piece of good fortune and personal gain. Simeon blessed them, but then he said something to Mary that must have made her ponder exactly what kind of windfall this would be. Simeon said, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." The contemporary English version of the Bible translates Simeon's words like this: "This child of yours will cause many people in Israel to fall and others to stand. Many people will reject him, and you, Mary, will suffer as though you had been stabbed by a dagger." We can only imagine how Mary must have felt after she heard that. I think about that second definition of windfall, something such as a ripened fruit that has been blown down by the wind. At that moment, Mary must have felt like she had been blown down by the wind. Her child was destined for the falling and the rising of many, and her child would be rejected, and a sword would pierce her own soul like a dagger to the heart. Well, a windfall can be a sudden, unexpected turn of good fortune, but a windfall can also be a sudden gust of wind that knocks us off our feet. And Mary experienced both kinds of windfall when Jesus was born. She experienced the blessing of being chosen to be the mother of the Son of God, but she also experienced the burden of being chosen to be the mother of the Son of God. Now, any mother will experience her share of joys and sorrows, of blessings and burdens, but for Mary, the joys and the sorrows, the blessings and the burdens were even greater. She had given birth to the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord. Could there be any higher joy and blessing than that? But her son would be opposed and rejected, and a sword would pierce her own soul too. One of my favorite authors, Paul Shearer, writes, "For some strange reason, life was never meant to run smoothly." Well, that's not exactly right. I think life was meant to run smoothly initially. Remember about Adam and Eve and the Garden of Eden and how life was so ideal and perfect. But when they chose to disobey God, sin entered the world, and the world changed, and life no longer would run smoothly after that. Life did not run smoothly for Mary and Joseph. It did not run smoothly for Jesus. It did not run smoothly for any other person in the Bible. And life certainly doesn't always run smoothly for us. Well, that's the nature of life in this world. And ever since, life has come with its share of hardships and troubles. The thing is, for most of us, our greatest lessons, we gain our greatest wisdom, we experience our greatest personal growth, not when life is easy, but when life gets hard. I wish it were not that case. It's not necessarily the good fortune and the personal gain kind of windfall that makes us stronger and better. Rather, it's the second kind of windfall that makes us stronger and better. It's the kind of windfall that knocks us off our feet, throws us to the ground. Sometimes it takes a piercing of our souls to open our lives to God. When we're flying high with good health and family happiness and plenty of money and external success, it's easy to get so caught up in ourselves that we forget about God. When things are going right, success can go to our heads and pride can make us ripe for a fall. And so sometimes it's only when we get knocked down that we remember to look up. As you know, we live in deeply troubled times. We live in a time of wars, refugees, terrorism, sickness, violence, racial divisions, religious hatred, and a pervasive sense of threat and insecurity. You might say we live in a windfall time when the winds of adversity blow and knock us off our feet. How can we cope in such a time as this? Last Wednesday, the Interfaith Conference of Metropolitan Washington, that's like a coalition of religious groups, held an event on the campus of Georgetown University. The event was called an Interfaith Gathering for Solidarity, Understanding, and Peace. The event was explained this way. Recent events in our country and across the world are deeply troubling. Acts of violence and words of exclusion have threatened our trust in one another. In this moment, it is important for us to come together and express our solidarity and our commitment to unity, to understanding, and to peace. The event will be dedicated to gathering members of our Washington, D.C. community, hearing reflections from faith leaders across traditions, and joining together in music and prayer. When I read about that, I thought, well, that's good. Faith leaders are coming together to seek unity and understanding and peace. That's good. But then I read some important notes for participation in the event. A photo ID will be required for entry. No bags or backpacks will be permitted. Any unattended items will be removed from the building. Participants will be required to go through a security check. This is the world we live in, when even a peaceful meeting of faith leaders for the purpose of unity and understanding calls for heightened security. We live in windfall times. And here's the thing. Maybe we need to get blown down in order that we might learn to look up. Maybe we need to stop being so preoccupied with ourselves that we can look beyond ourselves to the one who made us and the one who loves us and the one who came to save us. Maybe we need to remember that great windfall that came in that manger in Bethlehem and the good news of great joy that's for all people. Maybe the piercing of our souls will open our hearts to God. Oh Lord, we pray for a windfall. God with us. Oh Lord, let it be. We live in difficult times, our Father. It seems like our world is just spinning out of control. There's so much hatred and bloodshed, so much violence, so much terrorism, so much conflict, that even here we feel that sense of threat and insecurity. And on a more personal level, our Father, some of us are in a tough place. Some of us are battling an illness. The health that we enjoyed is no longer present. Some of us are dealing with financial difficulties. Some of us are facing family problems. Some of us feel like we've had a gust of wind knock us off our feet and throw us to the ground. Help us to know that we're not alone. Help us to remember that you're there, even if we feel like we've experienced that kind of windfall that's just taken the wind out of us, that your Spirit is here, that the gift of Jesus is real and powerful and for every one of us. Some of us feel like our souls have been pierced. but we pray that that piercing might open our hearts to you. May this coming Christmas season give us a new sense of your presence in our lives. May the gift of that baby in Bethlehem be a sign of hope wherever we are, to know that you are with us, to know that you love us, and you will save us. Thank you, O God, for the windfall of your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing a closing hymn in just a moment. And it may be there's someone here today who'd want to profess your faith in Jesus, to receive the forgiveness and the salvation that he offers, to follow him as a believer in baptism. Or maybe you've made that commitment already, but you're not a part of this church. You want to unite with us as we serve God together and celebrate his goodness. The invitation is to come to the front as we stand together and sing hymn number 143, Go Tell It on the Mountain.